Good evening, dear ones, or good morning. Welcome to our midweek church service on this 20th day of September 2023. Welcome to those that are listening to the recording or are joining us on the phone. Glad to have each of you in fellowship tonight. Praise God for his merciful kindness and his tender love, and for allowing us to have life for just such a time as this. Our opening song for tonight's service is titled, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. And thank you, dear Savior, for being our guide, our leader, one that we can follow without fear. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divine is comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, tis each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love, perfect rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wake to life immortal, wing my flight to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Amen. And what an honor and a joy it's going to be able to sing the song of the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Through endless ages, what a Savior he is. Welcome, dear Sister Jean. And it's now time for opening prayer. And who would like to offer that? Please go right ahead.
Precious Father in heaven, thank you so much for another opportunity to meet with brothers and sisters and have thy Holy Spirit to attend this meeting, which we seek now for guidance, blessing, and recognition of thy goodness of how you've led us in the past, because we also know that this is going to bless us in the present for the future. To God be the glory. You put a desire for us to want to serve you, and we thank you for giving us the grace to fulfill the calling. It's not an impossible calling you're calling us to. All things are possible to them that believe. Thank you for the precious promises of Scripture and the world that we live in of unbelief and darkness. Thank you for showing us that there's only two masters to choose from. In truth, there's many names. There's definitely more than two names out there, but they only come down to two sides. And I'm so glad we've had the privilege, and we pray we continue to make the most of the privilege of serving on the side of right and light, love and the Savior and his plan of redemption for mankind. Thank you for taking care of our dear sisters and brethren in the faith, especially in the health area as well, in sustaining them to reach the age that they've reached and to have a greater influence with their experiences of life, to be a telling influence on what God has done for them many years, and is our privilege as we who are younger, get older, to learn from them and to grow in the saving knowledge of what it means to be a living Christian. We seek your blessing on other meetings taking place to advance your kingdom, to make it known that God, there is a living God who's full of love for the world, and he's got plenty for everyone else who knows him not yet. May they be blessed as well as they continue looking up for your presence to be with them, to guide and lead and speak to the heart and the mind. In Jesus we pray and thank. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother. Well, dear ones, tonight is another testimony, praise, prayer, song, gathering. And so any particular hymns that you'd like to suggest or sing, any praises that you'd like to give, any testimonies that you'd like to bring forth, please go right ahead.
Well, make an appearance. Hello, brethren and sisters. I have good news. I got given my first job as a traffic controller Monday morning, and I couldn't get there because someone decided to have an accident on the main road. And it took 2 hours to get there, and I thought the guy, I rang up, you know, work, and I told him what's happening. He said, oh, yeah, I know, James. I figured, I didn't realize this at the time. That's because he sent people from his own business to control the traffic, because it was like a kilometer either way. It's the main road. And he said, oh, well, just come anyway, and when you come, we'll just send you to the door. I said, oh, thank you so much. I thought he was going to send me away, just go home, just turn around. And, it was really interesting. I'm really glad. The guy said, Jason's his name, he said, you know, we're going to put you on the list for the other end as well, for Midvale. You're in between both depots. I said, oh, that would be great. Now, I haven't heard from either of them for a couple of days now, and I don't know what to do about that. Is that how they operate? Give you one day and then 2 weeks off or something? So I'm not sure, but I'm really glad that something started in that area. And I was thinking of something else too this week. I was going to share it on Sabbath, but I think maybe now might be appropriate. You know, my as you all know, my mum died not long ago, July 6th, and we had about a couple of months to get used to not having her, you know, at home where she used to live. And I just visiting my sister and hearing about my brother Johnny, it's just marvelous how you just see God's hand working in their life, even though if they don't recognize it, that God was tenderly trying to prepare them for the loss of Mom. And my brother Johnny, he's still alive. He hasn't taken his life, thank God. And I just can't help but think God was trying to help Johnny get used to the fact that he's not going to have Mum to go to. He's not going to have time with Mum and that. Which could actually lead him to commit suicide, but he had months with her in this state where she was suffering. And I'm just so glad we had that precious time, because he hasn't taken his life. And looking at Jen, one of my sisters, how she got used to the idea for a couple of months of what's going to be. And they seem to be coping, despite the fact, obviously, the loss is there. But, you know, God's hand is involved there, the way that it occurred for these, my family members who haven't yet come to faith. And interestingly, my sister Jen, I gave her two small envelopes. I said, can you please give this to the two individuals that came to the funeral? And I said, because I had some conversation with them and I would really like it if you could give this to them, because I don't know where they live. And I know you will probably maybe see them. And she said, yeah. And she was okay with it, and I'm really glad, because they're both SDAs, the two people I've mentioned before. And we got talking, and she was sharing how hypocritical, she said, it seemed to them, because she's known them for a long time, and kind of quite closely. And she was just talking about things that jumped out as hypocritical. And I said, oh, really? Well, actually, I don't think I said that, because you sort of become immune to it, so used to hypocritical Christianity. I said, you know, the best thing they could do, Jen, is acknowledge that they're wrong. They haven't been representing Jesus, and they should repent. You know, I'm telling an unbeliever this, right? I said, because then that would be telling on you of the kind of person Jesus is, and the plan of salvation he has to want to save us from our sins. So I hope Jen takes note, and hopefully she does get that literature to them at some point in time. Yeah, that's something I wanted to share with you. So I thank God for huge mercies in this. And poor Luce, well, I say poor Luce, she couldn't make it today. She's got an appointment for bone density, so she's not been able to make it. So her apologies, her hugs to you all, and hopefully she'll be with us on Sabbath. Yeah, I'll give her hugs. I'll tell her I saw that as well. It's in my memory. I'll pass that on. Thank you, bro. Yeah, that's what comes to mind. I'm really glad. I was dwelling on that, thinking about my sister and Johnny, and I'm so glad he hasn't done anything stupid or foolish. It would be wonderful if he did another thing and became a Christian, a believing one.
Amen. We'll be keeping both of them in prayers, and yourself as well, dear brother. And also the two ladies that came to the funeral, the two Adventists. We'll be keeping them in prayer as well. Most of you know that tomorrow I'll be flying to be with my beloved, and with Adele, and with Sister Joan, in getting things ready for the big move probably going to be, we'll be doing the packing of the U-Haul on October 8th. And then probably on the 9th or the 10th, we'll be driving to Oregon with a loaded van. And I won't be able to bring the ministry computers with me, so I will not be able to lead out in any of the services. This is actually the last service I'll be able to lead out in till the 1st of November. So the Wednesday night meetings, this would be the last one until November 1st, which is a Wednesday. And Brother James is going to be taking over the Friday evening services like he has been doing. And I've made arrangements to have the rooms open for the church services on Friday and then Sabbath morning and then Sabbath morning with Sister Rose and then the youth and adult and then the main church service. And Sister Rose is going to be utilizing either the online videos or she's going to be doing the audio of the sermons. So there's going to be the main church service that will be taking place on different subjects. So thank you so much for your prayers. Thank you for your thoughts and well wishes. And we're praying for God to smooth the way, that everything runs very smoothly without any hiccups, without any situations, you know. And that Sister Joan becomes very comfortable here. And then yesterday, the man that delivers wood to us for years now, he asked if he could meet with me. He knows that I'm a pastor or an elder, and he's somewhat familiar. I gave him a track on health. I gave him a track on the true church. I shared with him a sermon that we had done on the family unit, and I wasn't sure what religion he was, but I do know that he appears to be very honest, searching for truth, and he asked if he could meet with me at a coffee shop or a tea place, and I said, well, I'm more than happy to meet with you there, but I don't drink coffee or tea. And I said, well, why don't you just come over to my place here? You know where I am. You deliver wood to me. And he goes, really? And I said, or I can meet with you there at your home. I know where he lives. And he goes, well, he goes, with all the kids that we have here, we're probably not going to have any quiet time. So if you don't mind, I'd like to come to your place. And I said, sure. So we arranged for 12 noon. So he shows up. We get through our pleasantries. And I said, so what do you want to talk about? And he goes, well, he says, you're my brother in Christ, and I want you to share with me any area that you see I may not be following the truth, because I, you know, you're my keeper. My brother in the faith, you're supposed to keep me. And if you see that I'm in danger of believing error, it's your responsibility. It's your duty to share it with me. And I have never had anyone, come at the issue of truth from that particular perspective. So I says, wow. I said, okay, well, I'm not quite sure what you believe, but why don't we start on what happens when someone dies? And I said most of Christianity believes that when someone dies, they're either with the Lord or they're down in hell or they're in purgatory. And he goes, yeah, yeah. And I says, but that's not what the Bible teaches. And so then I took him to Genesis. Lucifer's first lie was you can break God's law and live forever, right? So then we went through what happens at death. And then you have the judgment before Christ comes. You have the rewards meted out before Christ comes. And then Christ comes and takes the righteous to heaven. And then you have the lake of fire that's going to occur 1,000 years later, and all the wicked are going to be burned up in the lake of fire. But I said it talks about it being an eternal, everlasting fire, but it's like when you throw a piece of wood in the fire, it only burns until there's nothing left to consume. It's just ash. I said, it's the same way with the wicked. They burn according to their punishment for the deeds done in the body. And then when there's nothing left to burn, all that's left is ashes. So they will be destroyed by everlasting fire. They'll never be again. That's everlasting. And so he was right with me on the aspect of there being a judgment, the aspect of it occurring before Christ comes. And he was considering that everlasting destruction doesn't mean you're burning for everlasting, but you burn up and then you won't come back. So that is everlasting. And so he goes, yeah, I can see where you're coming from. And I said, what was the original paganistic belief? Was that man is part God and that they have an eternal spirit. And so when the body dies, the spirit lives on. But I said, there's only one who's immortal and that is God. And the only way we can be immortal is to have our sins confessed and forsaken, Christ to cleanse us, be our savior. And then we have eternal life in him. So I said, there is no eternal life in mankind. There's only eternal life in Christ. And in order for us to be able to live forever, we have to connect with Christ. And I said, that doesn't happen until after the judgment occurs and at the second coming of Christ for the righteous. I said, if you have died, you will be resurrected unto life eternal. So when someone dies, they're resting in the grave. And I said, the grave is just another term for hell. Hell means to be buried underneath the ground. And so we're resting in the grave until the judgment occurs. And then Christ comes. And if we're judged righteous, he'll raise us and take us to heaven. If we're judged unrighteous, we wait in the grave until the second death occurs. And so he goes, okay, all right, anything else? So we talked for 2.5 hours from 12 till 2:30. We touched on the subject of God's law because that's what points out sin. That's what we're going to be judged by. We talked about all 10 commandments being in effect today, which includes the Sabbath commandments. So then we touched on the Sabbath. We touched on the Trinity. And that was kind of it was hard for him to accept, but I grabbed a Bible for him. I took him to Hebrews 1, had him read verses 8 and 9, and he was able to see, I don't know if he accepted, but he was able to see that the Father and Christ are not equal because the Father is the God of God the Son. So since they're not equal in position or in authority, then the Trinity doctrine is proved to be unbiblical, because Trinity states there's three that makes up one, so all three are equal. But in the scriptures, it doesn't show that all three are equal. It shows that each has their particular position, and the Father is greater than the Son in that position. Now, their deity, their divinity, of course, is almighty, but in the position of authority, the Father is greater than the Son. And so then Trinity is proved to be unbiblical. So he was listening, and he had, you know, he was questioning here and there, and the Lord was able to bring up scriptures for that. So we touched on the state of the dead, we touched on the law of God, we touched on the Sabbath, we touched on Trinity, we touched on the resurrection, and that's pretty much, oh, and we touched on tongues. And about an hour and a half into it, he said, I'm a Baptist. And I said, oh, okay. Because I had no idea what he was. I was thinking he was Jehovah's Witness, but anyways. And he goes, at the moment, we're worshiping in an Assembly of God's church. And I said, oh, I said, is it pretty lively? Because they're Pentecostal. And he goes, no, they're actually pretty laid back. He goes, but I don't believe everything that they're teaching. And I said, yeah, you have to test all things. He said, so on this Saturday Sabbath issue, he goes, I have a workmate who's an Adventist. And I said, oh, that's interesting. He goes, are you a Seventh-day Adventist? And I said, no. I said, I used to be a Seventh-day Adventist, but they're no longer following the biblical doctrinal positions. They're more and more adopting an apostate position, so I can no longer fellowship with them. And so he was curious about what they had given up, and I said, well, there's Adventist churches that are keeping Sunday now. And he goes, really? And I said, yes, so the Sabbath is no longer just the seventh day to a lot of Adventists. It's any day of the week. And I said, there's Adventist churches holding Sunday services right now. And he goes, well, what's the rationale? And I said, well, they're coming from the aspect that since the majority of Christians worship on Sunday, they're going to open their church on Sunday to try and get Sunday keepers to come to the Adventist church, and then they're going to lead them into the seventh day being the Sabbath. I said, but can you really compromise God's worship day and still get people to understand the importance of the Sabbath? And he goes, no. So here's a Sunday keeper, right, admitting that that's the wrong approach. So anyways, he goes, my Adventist friend really pushes the Sabbath with me. And he, you know, we've had some pretty, pretty frank conversations in there. And he goes, I asked him, if I continue worshiping on Sunday, am I going to be lost? And he says, my Adventist friend wouldn't answer me. He goes, so I'm going to ask you, if I continue worshiping on Sunday, am I going to be lost? And I said, well, it's not an easy yes or no answer. And I said, let me explain. When you looked at Saul before he became Paul, he was convinced that God would have him persecute Christ's followers. He went all over the place, hunting down Christians, putting them in jail, and consenting to their death. But do you remember what happened on the road to Damascus? He goes, yeah. I said, Christ personally came down to Saul, and what did he ask him? And the guy's name's Adam. Adam said, well, he says, yeah, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And I said, what was the pricks? And I said, that was the Holy Spirit working on Paul's or Saul's heart, trying to lead him to understand that what he was honestly believing was God's will was not really God's will. It was against God's will. And the only way that Christ could wake Paul up before he blasphemed against the Holy Spirit and lost salvation was to personally come to him and wake him up. But Paul honestly believed he was doing God's will, and he was fighting against the Spirit pricking his heart that he wasn't doing God's will. But Paul was honest in heart, and when he understood the truth, he abruptly changed. I said, so with this issue of Saturday versus Sunday, if God reveals that truth to an individual and the Spirit is continually pricking their heart that Saturday is the Sabbath, that Sunday's not God's worship day, Friday's not God's worship day, and no other day of the week is God's worship day, and they continue to kick against the prickings of the Spirit, they're in danger of losing their salvation. But they won't lose their salvation until they blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. And how you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit is you attribute the Spirit's working on your heart to be the devil working on your heart. So you're calling the Spirit the devil. And I said, that's what will happen to those that continually refuse to accept the light. They'll eventually be left in darkness and will blaspheme against the Spirit, believing that his pricking of their hearts is actually the devil trying to get them to accept error. I said, so it's not an easy yes or no question because, or answer, because it deals with the amount of convicting power that the Spirit has used on an individual's heart, and then they make that final decision that they're going to reject the light that the Spirit has been earnestly leading them to accept, and then blaspheme against the Spirit, believing it was the devil. And he was just listening, and he didn't have any, I don't believe that type of thing. He was just taking it all in. And I said, I fully believe that there's more honest-hearted believers, followers of Christ, in the Sunday-keeping ranks than I do in the Sabbath-keeping ranks. I said, because God looks at the heart. Those who are living up to all the light that they have will be judged based on that light. If they did not have the convicting power of the Spirit regarding the Sabbath issue and they died a Sunday keeper, they still have a good chance of salvation. But if the light of the Sabbath had shone upon them and they continually rejected it, until the point they committed blasphemy against the Spirit, then they've rejected light. How can they be saved? So he goes, all right. He goes, I can understand that. I can understand that. And I said, so it's a personal issue. I would just encourage you to take what you believe regarding Saturday and Sunday and go to God's word. Look up every text you can find dealing with the Sabbath. And I said, put it all together, pleading with the Spirit to give you understanding, and then go with the big picture. I said, you can't go wrong. The only channel through which the Spirit operates is the truth. So the only channel that the Spirit is going to be working on your heart is in the truth, right? So go with how the Spirit and God's Word lead you on this subject. And he goes, okay. He goes, I appreciate that. I can't argue with that, in fact. I said, let's see, what else did we talk about? We got into the Trinity, and that was kind of hard for him to accept. But Hebrews 1:8-9 stood out to him, and he could see that, yeah, okay, all right, the Father is the God of God the Son. So then there is a difference in position there. They're not on an equal basis in that position. He goes, I'm going to have to do some more studying on that. I said, okay, that's fine, brother. So after about 2.5 hours, he goes, you know, I really got to get back home. And I said, yeah, I understand. I understand. And, I said, you know, when you go to Genesis, you have God instituting the Sabbath on the seventh day. The first 6 days he worked. So Sunday through Friday he worked, but the seventh day he set aside and made it holy. I said, then after sin came in, you have God giving the law to Israel, but the fourth commandment starts out, remember, which means the Sabbath was already in existence prior to that. God is pointing back to when the Sabbath was created and telling the Israelites to remember it. Then when Christ came into the picture, he called himself the Lord of the Sabbath, and he's the creator that created the Sabbath in the beginning. He's then the Lord of the Sabbath when he was on this earth as a human, and then he died. I said, God's law is like a will. In order for that law to be altered, to be changed, Christ would have had to done it to have changed it before he died, because it's like a testament, it's like a will. After Christ died, it can't be changed. Just like a will cannot be changed after the person that wrote it created it. So I said, when you're dealing with God's law, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His law is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So the Sabbath could not have been changed after Christ died. It remained the same Sabbath as it did before. And then I took him to Isaiah 66, and I had him read verses 24 and 5. I said, you see here, God creates the new earth. Well, that's after the wicked are destroyed in the lake of fire. And God said the Sabbath is going to be the worship day for all the redeemed forever. So you have the Sabbath coming in before sin. You have the same Sabbath in existence after sin. You have the same Sabbath in existence when Christ was the Lord of it. And you have the same Sabbath in existence after sin is forever eliminated. So, you know, I pray that we will love Christ enough to keep the day that he's the Lord of and not any other day that someone else is the Lord of. And he goes, I can see, you know, I can see the logic in that. He goes, but I'm going to have to study it for myself. And I said, yeah, it's exactly what you need to do. You can't take it because I shared it with you. You can't take it because it sounds good. You have to believe it because you see for yourself it's in God's word. And I said, if you compare line upon line, scripture with scripture, and Isaiah 66, I thought it was 24 and 25. Anyway, you compare scripture with scripture, and you put it all together to get the big picture. I says, you'll never go wrong that way. I said, what happens is individuals will latch on to one or two verses and they'll ignore the other verses that kind of contradict their understanding or their interpretation of these one or two. All right, thank you. So verses 22 and 23 of Isaiah 66. So he was right along with that. And he goes, you know, I'm a one subject individual when I study. I can't multitask. He goes, I'm tunnel visioned on one subject because I'm studying right now how God speaks to humanity. And he said, it's quite interesting that all the different ways that God can speak to humanity. He goes, when I finish that, he goes, I've got the Sabbath issue coming up. And so before he left, I gave him a track on tongues. I gave him a track on the judgment. I gave him a track on the state of the dead. I gave him a track on life after death, so resurrection. I gave him a track on 100 different facts of the Sabbath. I gave him a track on Sunday holiness, which of course is showing that Sunday isn't holy at all. And so he looked at all of them and he goes, hey, you're missing here the Trinity. Do you have a track on the Trinity? And I said, no, I don't have a track on the Trinity, but you can visit our website and there is a section on the Trinity there. And he goes, okay, good enough. So it actually went quite well. And again, I've never had an individual come from the aspect of it's your duty to share with me any area you see I'm in error. Because, you know, you're my keeper. If you see that I'm in danger of losing my soul by following something that's unbiblical, then, it's your duty to point it out to me. I said, okay, all right. And we started with the state of the dead. Yeah, he is indeed seeking for light, and I believe that he's honest in heart. So eventually he's going to come face to face with choosing whether to follow the truth that's in God's word or staying with custom and tradition. And Lord willing, he'll make the right decision. I've got very good hopes for him. So anyways, I said, any questions you have, you know where I live, you got my phone number, you got my email, you know. Feel free. And he goes, oh yeah, he goes, we'll be talking again. So that happened yesterday. So please keep Adam in your prayer. He is married. He's got 9 children and he's not a Catholic. He's got 9 children and they're all with one wife. So, and I believe they homeschool. So they got a lot of energy. So thank you for that. And, I believe that his wife is like a teammate in their studies. So I'm sure he's sharing with her and I'm sure she's giving her thoughts and maybe studying right with him on this subject. So keep them both in your prayers. Yeah, definitely a quiver full. So thank you for doing so. And I also asked him, I said, you know, your Adventist workmate, I said, if he's curious as to the reasons why I decided to leave the Adventist church, I said, I'm more than willing to talk with him. And he goes, oh, okay. All right. I'll pass along your information to him. I said, all right. Well, thank you. So Lord willing, there will be more than just one or two, or let me see. I guess their family is 11 at the moment. More than just 11. It will be, including this Adventist individual. Are there any other testimonies or songs, any praises to God that you'd like to bring forth? Please feel free.
I'm going through a situation here where my friend that I used to take to exercise with me at the senior center is now basically dying. She's got, I guess, cancer, because that's what they're treating her for. She's got, all they told me was lesions on the brain. Well, apparently it's worse. She had a seizure and a stroke, possibly a second stroke. And basically they're just waiting for her to die. We need to pray for the family, that there may be an opening. The daughter is very anti-church, anti-religion. My friends, church people, not a one of them have come to see her in her last illness. And the daughter is almost bitter over that. Not even the pastor has come to see her. So there may be an opening, I'm not sure, with the daughter. Another lady and I have both been to see our friend, and we're going to see what we can do for the family, but keep them in your prayers.
We will do so, dear sister, and thank you for bringing them to our attention. Are there any other prayer requests? Anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones, before we open it up to a season of prayer? Please feel free.
Speaking about prayer, I had a grandmother. Actually, she was my dad's stepmother. And we didn't see them much. We saw his mother more than his dad. And we went over to visit his dad, and the stepmother was in bed. She couldn't walk anymore. And so I went in to see her, and she was telling me about her antiques and the things that she did. And then she asked me, would you pray for me? And I said, well, yes. And I didn't know that she believed in God, but when she asked me to pray for her, I could feel that she was reaching out to God. She wanted to be part of heaven. And so I had prayer with her. And when I said, amen, she said, I love you. She had never told me that before in all the times that I had seen her. But prayer in the hearing of someone who is dying is a very wonderful thing for them. And bless your heart, Sister Jean, for going to see this woman who needs your prayers.
We all know what the trend is in America over the terms of Obama and Biden. I heard Trump today say, well, let me stop there. And you know how our government way of life supposed to keep politics and religion separate. Well, Trump is running on a religious platform. He says our country has gotten too far away from God and we need to get back to him. And that's going to be part of my platform for him running for the next election. And I thought to myself, the pendulum is now swinging the other way. And if they get power, then the other P soon follows. Persecution. So we may be running out of time. But like I hear you say, we're one day closer to heaven. And praise the Lord for that.
Amen. Even so, come Lord Jesus. This world is not our home. So yeah, I know that when Trump was elected the first time, well, the only time, he had a lot of evangelical backing. And so I saw that he was going to be partial towards that evangelical wish. And for God to allow Biden to get into the presidency and thus Trump is put off for four more years. Not four anymore, but was providential in my recollection or my eyesight in this regard, because Christ saw that his people were not ready. And so for Trump to get reelected and then to push the evangelical position, it just wasn't the right time. But things under Biden have become so terrible that individuals are going to want anyone other than Biden. And so Trump, I think, is just going to be elected under a landslide. And of course, that's going to bring the religious platform into political stage. And we know that it's what's going to, you know, prophecies declared that catastrophe after catastrophe is going to occur one after another, and the people are going to say, we need to get back to God. We need to have everybody worshiping God, and the best day for that is Sunday. And so we can see that it's looming on the horizon. Biden isn't going to do anything in that regard. So it's going to be Trump or someone other than him that's going to have that religious rise to power. So you're right, dear brother. The end is sooner than what many believe.
You got that kitty cat again.
Are there any other thoughts or comments, prayer requests that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? Please feel free.
Yeah. prayers for the move, that it will go smooth and easy with nothing, you know. So, and also your flight for coming down here. I'm getting excited, but yeah, just keeping you in prayer. So, all right. Talk to you later. Love you. Bye.
Amen. Will do, Sister Michelle. Well, I was waiting to try to get to work on Monday. I didn't have time to learn a new song. At home, I had to spend the time on Bible study instead of on the song before ringing Lucy. I couldn't ring Lucy, and so I went, and then 2 hours in traffic. What do you suppose a Christian does? He starts learning a scripture song, which you can now access on Light Ministries. And I couldn't remember which one I was up to. I just said, oh, this is pointless. I don't know which one I stopped at because I didn't have the record with me. So I got to this one. I know you all know it. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. They are new every morning, new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. They are new every morning, new every morning. Lamentations 3:22-26. Great is thy faithfulness. And there was a lot of smell in the air, but there was a lot of joy in my heart. I knew I got to the end of it without looking at the words, and I thought, that's good. This is time well spent. We had a piggery, I could smell this foul smell and this squealing at the top of their lungs. I thought, wow, I'm near an abattoir or something. Oh, it was the truck full of pigs with their snouts, poor pigs. And the smell was, it was up there. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Great is his faithfulness. Well, dear ones, let's open it up to a season of prayer, and I'll go ahead and start, and anyone else would like to pray afterwards, please feel free. So let us bow our heads. Precious Father, thank you so very much for thy great love, thy merciful kindness. Thank you that you're in control of all things and that your perfect will is being accomplished. We pray that you will continue to rule and overrule in each one of our lives, and help us to see your leadership and direction in the way you would have us go. We don't want to be going contrary to your will. We also don't want to be standing still when you want us to move forward. And we also don't want to complain when things go contrary to what we think they should be. So please grant us the discernment that we need to see where you want us to go, the wisdom to know how to get there, the grace and the patience to wait until we see the door opened, and the courage to move through. Thank you for sending your Spirit to be with us and to help and to guide and to lead us in all of these areas, as well as to give us the grace that we need to avoid frustration and impatience and worry. Help us indeed to rest in your love for us and to know that everything is going to work out for the best at the right time and that there's nothing to worry about except to have ourselves outside of Christ. We want to be with Christ. We want him inside us, taking the throne of our heart. We don't want to be without him. It's too dangerous. So thank you so much for helping us in all of these areas. You've heard the prayer requests, and even those that were not mentioned, the private ones. We pray that you will answer in thy perfect timing, according to your perfect wisdom and love, each one of these prayer requests and petitions. Especially be with Sister Jean's friend that is dying. Please help her to look up to the Savior, to fix her faith on his ability to forgive her her sins and to grant her life everlasting. And thank you for doing this miraculous work upon her heart and understanding before it's too late. Be with the family. Awaken them. And help them to manifest a compassion and a love for their friend and family member. We know in the last days that the love of many will wax cold. We don't want to be among that group. So fill our hearts with your love, that we may manifest this love in the proper way to one another, whether we meet them on the street for the first time or perhaps we've known them all our lives. Help us to manifest your love and to let them know that they are indeed loved and there is a God that loves them even more. Thank you for opening hearts. We pray that the seeds of truth that have been shared by Brother James, by others, will be planted deep in the heart soil so that the seeds can't be snatched away, but the truth will be able to sprout and to bring about conversion at the proper time. Thank you for being with Adam and his wife and his workmate. Please Let nothing that was shared be forgotten, but to be brought back to mind at the proper time. Thank you, Spirit, for troubling the heart and pointing to Jesus and the truth. We thank you for hearing and answering this and any other prayers, Father. Thank you for your compassion, and what a wonderful thing to think of that we're a day closer to being with you for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you this evening that we can still meet together and we're not barred by somebody or some AI from having this meeting and conversing about our hope and our desires for heaven. Be with each person that came this evening. Bless the lady that Jean talked about. Help her to find you before it's too late. Help her family to be a little more sympathetic and see light in the truth. Bless Adam as he studies, that he will come to a knowledge of the truth and that he won't reject any of it. That way, rest of us will get to meet him someday. Get with James and Lucy over in Australia. We prayed a long time that he might find employment. Sounds like he's getting near it again. Bless Bob as he flies down south to help move his mom up to Oregon. Keep him safe going and coming. As we see the situation in the world, we see the Hegelian dialectic happening all around us in various ways. Politics may swing back to the right if Trump gets elected. And it's a good chance that he will sign laws that will hurt your people. We'll give him wisdom and give your people the willingness, the ability to stand for the truth of the heavens law. I pray for my sister this evening that she would somehow interrupt her thought patterns and bring her to think about her relation to heaven or lack thereof and seek to make it better. Also Elaine's companion since childhood, Karen, who's wandered away from the truth, possibly because of the hypocrisy she saw in her father. Help her to come back, and she and Elaine will be able to spend eternity together. I thank you for your watch care, your tender mercies on us, unworthy disciples, children. Help us to remain faithful. We love you and we want to see you when you come and not cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on us and hide us. This I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to talk to you and to understand even what we don't say, but wanted to say thank you for the Holy Spirit who relays that in prayer. We ask that you will be with Jean's friend, give her hope, give her peace in her heart. And we ask also that you are with each dear heart in our ministry, that through us you may deal with each person and heal their heart. Father, thank you for being with us every hour of every day and night, and for knowing us so very well and still loving us. Be with each one of us. Send the Holy Spirit that our eyes may be open and our ears quick to hear someone in distress, someone that needs your healing power, and help us to speak the word. Thank you so much that we're able to communicate with each other, because where two or three are gathered, you're in the middle of us. We appreciate that so much. When there's so many millions of people in this world, you still can be with each one of us. We ask that you grant us safety, grant us the safety of 10,000 angels if need be, bring us all together again. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Mm-hmm.
Father in heaven, thank you for the privilege of prayer with brethren and sisters, and to get to hear from them what's on their heart, what's on their mind, what's been their experience in the past week or more than a week, and what's been happening in other people's lives, such as Sister Jean's dear friend that has had the solemn news and declared to her. And we wish that anything and everything that could be done for her salvation and the salvation of her family and friends, we know you have that at heart, and that we are to be your hands and your feet. Well, to be Jesus's hands and his feet through the representative living in us, even the Holy Spirit doing his good, doing your good, perfect will in us. And we ask for your blessing on Sister Jean's visits and timing, that it would be under your guidance, that it will allow this dear lady to recognize that God's love, the love of God, that God is love of the Bible, the creator of the heavens and the earth. His love is stronger than death, and Jesus Christ, his son, has broken the bands and bonds of it. It is true. It is so true. It's more truth. There's so much to learn about this truth, among other themes, among other subjects that all center on Jesus Christ, the man of history, his story, the story of stories, that she might see the story of redemption for her own soul, as well as everyone on this planet, see and experience the joy of having peace with God and with man, and have a record she won't be afraid to meet in the judgment because of Jesus being her righteousness. Thank you for blessing time to becoming closer for our dear the Dear Cecil family coming together in Oregon, the plans and preparations that are being made, the traveling necessary, both over the, in the air and on land, that the plans will be blessed in your hands and they will be made the most of the time left in California, especially for Sister Jean, a long time home, and that the new home will be a real blessing to her. And that the sadness of leaving one place that so long will be recompensed, even in this life, with her dear family. And thank you for making it possible for them to be planning this and it being right on the horizon. We're grateful to hear it and pray for the success in this venture, which is so important. And thank you for the uplifting story of Brother Adam with 9 children with his wife, who is very close to her husband, that he does indeed take on what Brother Bob shared with him and take it to heart that he's got the answer book, but that answer book called the Bible can bring out all sorts of things according to one's imagination unless we're led by the author of that same book, the Holy Spirit, that doesn't speak contrary to the law and the testimony, that he sees the beauties in it shine forth and compares the literature that's being given him and realizes the significance of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God being in harmony with every other word that has proceeded out of the mouth of God, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, as Isaiah 28 brings out, and that he will continue indeed to stay in contact with Brother Bob. Thank you for the many different prayer requests that Alice have given, whether it's an email, whether it's over the phone, online, offline, etc., in person. Jesus, we want people to know, and perhaps it's people that aren't even Christians that ask for their prayers to be said for them, and also Christians that don't necessarily realize why we say we will keep that in prayer, that they might have presented to them the last message of mercy in the process, and they might realize something of the worth of Christ's merits that makes it possible to be heard when we don't live in known sin. That is only possible by the same grace that God alone can give, that can convict of sin, but we can deny that conviction, but it doesn't make it true. That Adam and others out there, that they might come to their senses and realize all they've got to gain is the truth. But in the process, that will require sacrifice of things that we've regarded the truth that is not truth. Treasured, cherished error that's called truth. Truth of the Bible that's been hidden under the rubbish of custom and tradition. May it shine forth brighter. And the events taking place, as brethren have just shared briefly, we thank you in one way because it shows the closeness of time. And at the same time, we wish that everyone would be prepared for it too. And we would do our part that we need to do for that to happen. As much as we want to get off this world, that others will also be able to say the same for the right reasons and according to thy word. Thank you for your love and protecting us. And may our brothers and sisters be blessed all over the world who are looking unto thee for salvation according to thy word. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
And amen. Amen. Well, praise God from whom all blessings flow, dear ones. Pray that each one will continue to grow in grace, will continue to draw closer to the Savior and He to them, and will become more and more fixed and established in the truth, ready for Jesus to come. And will also keep looking up.
And get my mic. Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.